I don't remember all of the history behind that hymn, but look that one back up. If I'm remembering right, there's some pretty neat stories behind that hymn. I see Nadine nodding her head. I don't remember all of it, but I know it was a wartime written, I believe. And anyhow, I should look that up and should have known that better in my mind. It was just kind of running through my head as we were singing it and worshiping through that this morning. There's some neat things that God was doing in that person's life as the author, composer was writing that. Well, good morning. Let's see. Who's got the Christmas bags under their eyes? Is anybody kind of worn out from Christmas activities at all? Yeah, you know, lots of things done. Lots of basketball for some of our folks around. Our Lady Blue Jays have done great in their tournament, and so awesome. Congrats to them. Lots of good things going on over break as well, but it is great to see you and be ready to worship this morning. It is a family Sunday morning. That means we're all worshiping together this morning, so just remind families if you want. We've got some extra kind of puzzle sheets and worksheets and those kind of things for kids, spots to take notes on them, spots for adults to take notes on them if you'd like this morning as we dive into our sermon this morning. And all of our children's activity things will be back to normal next Sunday morning. This morning, I want to share a message with you just entitled, Merry Christmas and a Happy New You, okay? And we're going to retitle Mary, M-A-R-Y. We're going to take a look at how God works in her life and how she responds. And I think there's some things there that we could learn from to maybe just prepare us for the new adventures God would have for us in 2019. And we could kind of say that a virgin birth was a new adventure for Mary. And so if you've got some new things maybe on the horizon for you in 2019, I hope there's some things here this morning that God can speak into your heart and show you some things that I think he wants us to be ready to respond to him in as well. We're going to pick it up in Luke. I know we've read it several times in the last couple of weeks in our Christmas Eve service. By the way, thank you again. We have some incredible leaders who stepped in and took care of Christmas Eve service. I probably drove them nuts on Christmas Eve. They did terrific, yes. Tori was having surgery that day, and we thought we were going to be here in time, and then we thought we weren't going to be here, and then we thought we were going to be here because things were starting to run early, and then things started running late again, and so I don't know how many times I messaged folks saying, I'm going to be there, I'm not going to be there, I'm not going to be. So they were patient, and they should have just told me, shut up and stay home is what they should have told me at first thing of the day. So thank you guys for doing a great job on our Christmas Eve service. We're going to pick this up in Luke chapter 1, and we're actually going to back this up, okay? I know it's after Christmas, but I want to back up, and we're going to kind of take a look at Mary. So we're going to back all the way back up to the announcement given to Mary this morning. So if you go back with me in Luke chapter 1, as the angel visits her, Gabriel visits her in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where I want to start reading. And I'm going to read down through verse 37. Luke 1, 26 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man? The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary answers, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. I want to start off this morning by saying the first things we can do in our response to God and our response to what's maybe coming in 2019 is we need to celebrate the Lord's presence. And of course, on Sunday morning, that sounds perfectly normal. That sounds great. Yeah, I want to celebrate the Lord's presence. But if we were real honest about that, there's probably some times every once in a while where the Lord's presence isn't the first thing on our mind that we'd like to celebrate. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where, you know, there are days you wanted mom and dad to be around, and there are some days that you didn't want mom and dad to be around, right? Okay? And so maybe every once in a while, there's kind of those spots where if we were real honest, we'd like to be thinking to ourselves that God didn't know what we were doing, right? And we want to be in that spot where we're able to celebrate the Lord's presence every step of the way, every time of the way. What does the Lord's presence mean for you today? In other words, just where you are in your walk in life, where you are in your relationship with him, where you are, maybe even how you're treating others. If God was to sit down right next to you, would that be a comforting moment? Or would that be a reckoning moment? Or would that be at least a wake-up call moment, maybe, kind of situation? Where would the Lord's presence mean for you today? Well, of course, the reminder is, God is always present. He is always here. We're just not aware of him sometimes. We let our mind zone out and forget that he is always present. So one of the things that when we're saying celebrate the Lord's presence, that means just keeping a constant awareness that God is here, and that is a good and a great thing. I pray that your celebration of Christ's presence would be constant. When this angel shows up to Mary, first thing he says is, don't fear, don't be afraid, okay? And for a lot of people, the thought of God just showing up is a fearful thing. The Bible is interesting for us, folks, because this is one of the spots where we kind of can maybe feel confused by the Bible, but we're going to hold both truths because they're both accurate, okay? The Bible clearly commands us to both fear God and to not fear him. We see that even within these passages. Jesus himself commands us to fear God, for he is the one who has authority to cast people into hell after death. Luke chapter 12, verse 5, Jesus tells us that. It is good to fear God. It is appropriate for us to fear God when we contemplate God's wrath, when we contemplate God's holiness, when we contemplate his power, his might, the ability he has in control of nature, the ability he has in just his incredible power. Excuse me. In Psalms 115, verse 11, gives us a cool picture of this idea of fear the Lord and don't fear the Lord at the same time. In Psalms 115, verse 11, and I'm also going to read verse 13, it says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. And it goes on in verse 13 and it says, he will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. We hear in those verses both the instruction to fear the Lord, but to also trust in the Lord, or to not have to fear him. And both things are appropriate for us. And so for Mary, it is appropriate in one aspect for her to be fearful when the Lord appears, when the angel says, the Lord is with you. But it's also completely appropriate for us then to shift from thinking about the Lord's might, his holiness, his wrath towards sin. It's appropriate for us to also shift then to also thinking about his mercy and his grace and his salvation that he gives. And therefore, it's also appropriate for us to shift from fearing the Lord to fear not the Lord. And so the angel can speak that to her. Fear not. Fear not when we hear that the Lord favors us, just as the angel announced to Mary, you are favored. We fear not when we place our trust in the Lord, because the Holy Spirit makes us aware of his grace and his mercy. We fear not when Jesus gave those hard instructions I just read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 12, when he said, fear the one who can cast you into hell. A verse later, in Luke 12, 6 and 7, Jesus goes on and says, God knows all the details of you. He knows all the hairs on your head. He values you more than the sparrows. He hasn't overlooked you. And so even Jesus, in the same time of saying, yes, fear the Lord, fear God, but know he knows you intimately. He cares about you. You don't have to fear him because of his grace and his mercy. We want to celebrate the Lord's presence. One of the ways we do that is we hold both of those truths together. Yeah, we fear in his might or his holiness, but we don't have to fear if we know him in grace and the salvation that Jesus Christ gives. So for you to celebrate the presence of the Lord, I hope you know both of those truths already this morning. Mary has found favor. She's full of grace received. Some of our translations, I think the King James happens to still say in there, has a phrase in there of, I just lost it out of my brain. It left me. But our Catholic brothers and sisters take it and they look at it as being, well, Mary has grace to dispense to other people. And that's not what that full of grace phrase means, okay? Mary doesn't have grace that she's able to give to us on behalf of God. Mary is full of grace because she has received grace from God the Father. Just as each of us is able to receive grace and mercy from God the Father, we look to Mary as one who's received grace. This idea of favor that God has poured out on her, there's a word in there. It's charis. It's a word where we even get our word charity from in the original Greek. It's saying in that favor, this is the undeserved mercy and grace of God on Mary. Mary was special because God chose her and God showed grace and mercy towards her. Mary wasn't special in some way that then made God choose her. Does that make sense? It's because of God's favor on Mary that made her special in God's plans. It wasn't because Mary was unique first and special, and then God chose her because of that. When God chose Mary, it's a continual picture, guys, that God can choose any of us. She's unknown, teenage girl, no prominence, poor family. God can use any of us to accomplish his will as he chooses, and he shows favor on us. This idea of favor and this relationship with God in it is very cool, because there's a kind of a neat story, and it goes back a few years, okay? I'm sorry for my old stories, but around 1996, one of our astronauts, U.S. astronaut Shannon Lucid, spent 188 days on the space station. At that time, there were also two Russian cosmonauts who were also in the space station with her, okay? Former Soviet Union astronauts. And as they got to know each other during that time, they had some interesting conversations because they talked about growing up during the Cold War. Some of you have no idea what we're talking about. It's not a weather system, but the Cold War, anyhow, okay? So as they talked about this and the weapons race that happened between the United States and Russia at that time, they talked about how they as children grew up with this thought that the Russians wanted to kill us. And the Russians grew up with the thought that the Americans wanted to kill us. And here they are as astronauts together in a space station talking about this stuff, saying, we had no desire like that whatsoever. We thought you wanted to kill us. Well, we thought you wanted, no. We just needed to get to know each other. And here are the astronauts who are developing a friendship regardless of what they had thought before, okay? I don't know where every single one of you are in your walk with Christ, with your walk with God, but if any of you are here this morning and you're in a spot where you think like God's got something against you, you still need to get to know him, okay? God doesn't have something against you. Yes, there is accuracy to say, yes, in our sin, we are enemies of God, okay? In our sin. But we aren't enemies that God is looking to destroy. We are enemies that God is looking to bring into relationship, to move from enemy, to move to friend, to move to adopted child. And so if you've got some perception of who God is when I talk about all that fear stuff, hold on to both of them. I hope you're also holding on to the fear not. He is a God who loves you, and he wants to get to know you. I want you to celebrate God's presence today. Celebrate his presence throughout all of 2019. Mary was celebrating God's presence. Second thing we see in this passage this morning, we want to trust God and God's word, both of them, to do the impossible. Mary asks this really, really good question in verse 37, I believe it is. No, backing up, sorry, wrong note I wrote down there. This is a really good question, and we get used to it because we've gotten used to the Christmas story, maybe reading these each year. But she's speaking with the angel. In verse 34, she asks, how can this be since I've not had sexual relations with a man? How in the world can I be pregnant? How does that happen? That is a very, very good question. It shouldn't be possible. It's impossible. Yet she's going to conceive a child. You know what's going through Mary's mind? I haven't had the relationship that should lead towards that kind of end result. I haven't had the earthly resources that should lead to that type of end result. I don't know where all of your relationships are today. Or I don't know where all of your resources may come from or what levels they may be at. But when Mary asks that question, it's a question a lot of us ask too. Lord, how in the world can you do that in my life? I don't have the stuff that takes for that. I don't have all that stuff in my resource collection. I don't know those kind of people for those kind of things to happen. God, how in the world do you want to do that in my life? Our God, through him and through his word, he works to do the impossible in us. The fact that God can reach in to a woman's womb and place life there, both in the beautiful picture of Christ's birth and the divinity that is placed there, just in every pregnancy as well, folks, God does a miracle reaching in and placing life there where no one can go, okay? No one sees other than crazy medical technology type stuff, right? It reminds us, folks, when God can do that, God can also reach into your life in the places that people don't see. And he can touch and he can place his life in you. He can bring healing to things no one knows about, to wounds that maybe nobody else sees. God can reach in and work miracles where no human can go. God can heal physical things that no doctor's eyes have even seen. God's word does the impossible. God specializes in the impossible. Mary's phrase in that question is, how can this be? Oh, I love her question. Because her question expresses faith and doubt at the same time. Do you hear that? In her question isn't, can this happen? Her question says, it's going to happen. I just don't understand how I'm going to get from point A to point B. I know we're going to get there, Lord, but how is it going to happen? I pray that would be our questions at times. Not that we would doubt that God's going to do it, but we would just ask the question, God, how are you going to do it? I just don't see those connections yet. Maybe to your eyes, it's impossible for something that God's calling you to in your life. He's able to do it. Mary trusted God. She trusted that he could. She trusted that he would. She just didn't understand how. I don't know. Maybe you're even here this morning and you would think it's impossible for God to love you. It's not impossible. The Holy Spirit is able to do new works in us that we can't imagine. There's an ending phrase in this, and it's around verse 37 and 38. And it's a phrase that we quote a lot of times. We kind of like this, for nothing is impossible with God. Yes, for nothing will be impossible with God. If we dived back into the original languages, got back into the Greek and all of those things, we could kind of even look at maybe a more literal translation. When it says nothing will be impossible with God, there's actually also a little phrase in there that's about God's word. And it would be really weird for us to kind of speak it this way, but we could kind of say nothing is impossible for God's word. Would be maybe a little bit more literal way that we could read that verse. An older translation happens to say it this way, for no word of God shall be void of power. It's one of the ways an older translation of verse 37 happens to read. In other words, the way God does impossible things like creating an entire universe, let there be light. By his word, just God speaking, and he does the impossible. His word is able to do the impossible. When we realize that God's word, his speaking, okay, just him speaking is able to do the impossible, then it makes sense a little bit more what Mary says back in verse 38, doesn't it? If you got your Bible still open, look back at verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. God's word is powerful. It will always have its power. Mary says, go ahead and let it be done as according to your word. Then let the angel left her. We can trust God and we can trust God's word to do the impossible. In 2019, reading the Bible through again, I didn't do that in 2018. Excuse me. We will make it through the sermon. I'm sorry, it's not going to be that short. This past year, I didn't read the Bible through in a year. If you think that's horrible for a pastor, okay, you can throw stuff at me. I can't find any commands in the Bible that say we have to read the whole thing cover to cover every year. And I think some of us get a little legalistic at times about those things. But this next year, I'm going to make that one of my goals. I'll probably include some stuff online from time to time if other folks want to do that with me. But I say that only as an opportunity, not as some kind of legalistic expectation. Does that make sense? Okay. But if you're asking for God to do some impossible things in your life, maybe in 2019, I promise you it's going to involve His Word in you. And so maybe that'd be one thing that you would add to some of your mindset. Maybe you're here this morning and you would just say, hey, I've never been diligent in just having a quiet time and just reading a couple of verses. And maybe your goal in 2019 would be just to be having a quiet time on a regular basis throughout the week, okay? And maybe getting through a couple books of the Bible or whatever devotional material you happen to use. That is terrific, okay? There is not some chart out there in heaven where God's going, oh, look, they read through the Bible 37 times. Oh, look, yeah, no, they haven't done it. Okay. It's getting to know Him, getting to know Him through His Word. But the impossible that He does. Number third, ha, ha, cold medicine. Number three, celebrate being the Lord's slave as well. What was Mary's response? May it be done to me according to your word. May it be done to me according to your word. She is willing to be the Lord's slave, and she is the Lord's servant. She says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. We want to celebrate being the Lord's slave. I also want to read on down through verses 46 through 55, okay? This is Mary's celebration of all that God is doing. This is her song of praise in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed because of the Mighty One. He has done great things for me, and His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering His mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He spoke to our ancestors. Throughout that passage, she's not celebrating her life. She's celebrating God. He's done great things. Mary has no care about how great she is, but she does explode in worship over how great God is. He's done great things. His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation. He humbles the proud. He exalts the lowly. Mary's first goal was to please her God. That was her first goal. I can't help but wonder if even before this experience, even before the angel came to Mary, I can't help but wonder if that wasn't Mary's prayer already. God, I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you need to do. Now, I don't know. God can choose some people. I mean, God chose Saul, who was just evil, was killing Christians, was persecuting the church, and God chose him and grabbed him and changed his life radically, okay? And turned him into Paul, who is inspired to write so much of the New Testament that we enjoy today. But also at times, God chooses the hearts that have already been leaning towards him. And I can't help but wonder if Mary wasn't one who was already saying, even before an angel ever came to her, I'm the Lord's servant. Use me however you need to, God. She was celebrating being the Lord's slave. Author Steve Lawson has an incredible quote. I probably should have put this on the screen, and you may like to write this down. It's this. It says, if you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. If you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. And if you displease God, it doesn't matter whom you please. We need to celebrate being the Lord's slave. That may be a weird phrase to some of you. Think, why in the world would I celebrate being somebody else's slave? Because there is no greater master, folks. You being your own master is an evil master compared to being the Lord's slave, to having His care, His concern over us. We want to celebrate being His slave, being His servant. If that word slave strikes you funny, I probably brag on this book all the time, and I'll say it again. I'll say it every time we talk about that concept. John MacArthur's book is just titled Slave. goes through all the spots in the New Testament where that word really probably should show up. And a lot of our translations may switch it to bondservant or just a servant. But really the word they have there is the word they would have had for slaves at that time. And how we follow Christ, how we serve him, how he is a blessed master to have. Highly recommend that to you. Number four this morning, wrapping up. In Christ, folks, this is good news. In Christ, you are more blessed than Mary. If you are a Christian, and you're looking ahead into 2019, and you're wondering what kind of year is ahead for you, one of the things I think we all need to know is that we are even more blessed in Christ than Mary was. So, Dan, how in the world can you say that? Well, because Jesus said it. That's why we can say that. Later on in Jesus' public ministry, there is a woman who cries out to him. This woman cries out and yells, "The woman that bore you and the one who nursed you are blessed." But Jesus responded back and said, "Even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed." And paraphrasing Jonathan Edwards, there is a greater way to be related to Jesus than by flesh and blood. There is a greater way to be related to Jesus than by being his mother or by being a stepbrother or a half-brother to him. There is a greater way. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was speaking to a crowd, and his mother and his brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to him. And someone comes to him and says, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They're wanting to talk with you." And Jesus replies back to him and says, "Who are my mother and brothers?" He looks towards his disciples and says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother." He points to them. He says, "You are." There is a greater way to be related to Jesus than by flesh and blood. It is through the spiritual sacrifice of Christ's flesh on the cross, the covering of his blood from the cross. That is a greater relationship to Jesus than being his earthly mother, folks. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? I'm going to put it in a different picture. What happens when we become a Christian, when God converts us, when we're saved? The Holy Spirit, God himself, comes and dwells in us, right? Folks, Mary only got to carry Jesus inside of her for maybe 9 months. You can carry Jesus inside of you for the decades remaining of your life. I hope we will catch on to this, folks. Sometimes maybe it's a little bit of just the influence of Catholicism into our society or whatever, but if we look at Mary and think, "Oh, she's special, please understand, in Christ, you are more blessed than Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. I hope you know that. I hope you understand. I hope you know that. This phrase that Luke gives us of her being highly favored, it even carries over in Ephesians. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, 6, verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to us, says, "He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved." These same phrases of how Mary was highly favored are used to describe us as believers. Christ's, God's favor towards us. You are more blessed than Mary. That should give you a confidence going into 2019 of what God wants to do in your life and how he wants to use you as well. Lastly, number five, we need to treasure and meditate on the words of God. When we were reading out of Luke chapter 1, verse 45, it is at the end of Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth even responds back to Mary and says, Blessed is Mary, who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. We're back again kind of to that idea. God's word does the impossible. God's word never goes out without power. We trust what God has spoken is going to come true. When we, every season, we read the Christmas story, folks, we should be reminded of all the promises of God that he fulfilled in that nativity. All the promises that he fulfilled there that reminds us that every promise he's given are going to be fulfilled. We can trust them. Mary hears these words of God, and she trusts them. She treasures them. She meditates on them. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I just want to remind you over in Luke chapter 2, there's some shepherds out in a field, right? The angels get their attention. Tell them about the Christ child. They head into Bethlehem to see Jesus. While they are there, they worship Christ. They go and they tell Mary all the things, and Mary and Joseph, all the things that the angels had said. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 2, it says, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 19, but Mary was treasuring up these things in her heart and meditating on them. We want to be sure, folks, that we aren't just fascinated by God's word. We want to make sure we aren't just intrigued by God's word, but we need to treasure and meditate on the words of God. So these shepherds, incredible experience, lots of stuff to tell. They go into town. They see the baby Jesus. They're telling everybody. And people are amazed at what the shepherds are saying. But 12 years later, we read of Jesus coming back into Jerusalem to the temple. And nobody at that time is going, oh, it's the boy the shepherds told us about. It's that one. It's the Messiah. It's him. No, what they say about him when he comes back, isn't that the carpenter Joseph's son? Folks, they may have been amazed at what the shepherds told them, but that amazement wore off. That amazement, that intrigue, whatever, maybe the buzz that was going around Bethlehem the night of his birth, it faded. And I want to encourage you, folks, if you want to avoid the fade of Christmas, be sure we treasure and meditate on God's words. That's what Mary does. She's pondering them in her heart. Several commentators say that that idea of pondering them means that Mary is taking what God's word said, and then she's looking to see how it affected her life and how it changed her life, okay? Now, if you want to just have intrigue about God's word, just read it and then put it down. But if you want God's word to do the impossible in your life, if you want to treasure and meditate on it, read God's word and then ask, what does this mean for my life? For my Monday morning, for the people I'm going to walk into their lives during the day on Monday afternoon, what does this mean in my life? I'm pondering God's word, and I'm taking it and seeing it against my own life. Many scholars think in reading this passage of Luke, I think this is beautiful to think of, the way the quotes come from Mary. They think that Luke probably got to go and visit with Mary in her old age and actually hear Mary tell Luke these stories for him to include in the gospel. Just the way the quotes happen to appear. We can't be certain about it, okay? I'm not going to preach that as some kind of absolute truth. But what a beautiful picture. Can you picture this maybe older woman sitting down with Luke and just getting to tell back now that she has the entire story after his resurrection? We have the entire story. What stories will we tell? What stories will we tell? To have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New You, God must do the impossible. We want to celebrate his presence. We want to celebrate serving him. We want our desire to please him to be above all other desires. We want to recognize that we're more blessed than Mary. We want to apply the words and promises of God to our own lives. Something we see from Mary, okay? Mary experienced the grace of God. She believed the word of God. And therefore, she believed she could be used to accomplish the will of God. And the same can be said for you. And the same can be said for her. It should be able to be said of the Road Church in 2019. That we would experience God's grace. And because we've experienced God's grace, we would also believe his word. And that he could use us to accomplish his work. I pray that for you, for your family. I pray that for our church as well for this coming year. I pray you know him. You're more blessed in Christ.